My name is Earl Gregory, date, December 3rd, 1973, and I'm interviewing Dr. A.B. Allen. Dr. Allen, can you tell me if you were born in Saginaw, or where were you born?
I was born in Canada, in Brunswick.
What made you decide to come to
my folks moved from Canada to Georgetown, South Carolina. I graduated from the University of Michigan Medical School in March 1917. I was expected to go over in the spring of 1919. I went to school all summer at 18, so I graduated. Philadelphia General Hospital and came to Auburn to practice about 1920. I was there 4 years and I moved to Bay City. And we started the medical partnership in 1928. 1930, we built the first edition of the Allen Medical Center. And we had nine men that were in, including myself. And then we built the West Wing about 1960, 40, 48, 50. And we soon got crowded there and we built the East Wing and remodeled the building in 1961. Present time we have 28 doctors in the building. No, I've been retired about 10 years.
Well, what made you decide to come to the Auburn area?
Well, a friend of mine was here in Bay City. He thought they needed a doctor badly at all. And I was there after 4 years. Dr. Roach, which is my student classmate. I worked at the Wayne County Hospital during weekends and vacations. By the time I was a junior medic until I graduated, I came back there for a short time after I got through internship. I left there about in the fall of the following year.
What was the area like when you first came?
Well, when I first came here, there were 35 doctors in the whole area. They are an acbiopsy area, one medical society for three counties. And now we've got about 125 doctors in there. And I first came to Auburn. The only improved roads we had, they had a stone road between Bay City and Midland. And the Beaver Road was graveled out as far as the Garfield Road. Garfield Road to travel down to Midland Road. The rest were all mud roads. There was a little rough traction at that time. You couldn't get through the roads. They didn't have the equipment to open the roads they have now. And we used to use horses to get there. In the wintertime, we'd drive a cutter. Summer, spring, and fall, when the roads were muddy, we'd either drive a buggy or go on horseback. If the roads were very bad, you made better time on horseback because you didn't have the rut to fall into the buggy. office, but I made calls too. Then in 1930, I went back to the school. I went to the University of Pennsylvania, postgraduate school, and spent the from 1930-31, and from 1931 to 32, back to college at the University of Michigan as my assistant, and I had a year there. I came back to Bay City in 1932. Since that time, from that time until the time I retired, I just went on vacation. During the early days when I was in Philadelphia, the only thing they had for hypnotic was bromide and some of the other similar drugs. And when I was an intern in Philadelphia, the Veranol was the first one to come out in that series of drugs. And now they have a great many drugs. They're using have phenobarbital, barbiturates, you call it, that's used for anesthetics. And in those days, we didn't have antibiotics. We had the old specifics. You had mercury and arsenic, and we you had some of the digitalis. Drug for gout that was still used today, an old empirical, came to empirically to the drugs that we used. But, and that was, well, I went to Freeland, and I went over into Saginaw County. I went up as far as Fraser, and I used to come east to Bay City. We used a hospital. When I moved in here in 1900, and moved into Bay City, that was 1923, about 4. And then we practiced here until I went away in 1930 to take up medicine and surgery. The drug I was trying to think of was colchicine. That is still a drug for gout. The other drugs that we had, we didn't have any of the antibiotics or the sulfa drugs. And in pneumonias, they had 17 different shots they gave for pneumonia that were developed as antibiotics. As, not antibiotics. Antigen, and they made serums with these various pneumococci, 17 different types, and they used that for a while against the various pneumonia. One of the things that we used in the days of the flu epidemic was we'd keep our patients at we keep track of our patients that had pneumonia and recovered, especially the virus pneumonia. And when we had a patient that wasn't doing well with the virus pneumonia, we'd tighten cross matching and transfuse them from the recovered case. And that was quite successful. We Johnny Giant, an OCO and highly active. And in that way, they had pretty good results with some types of urine inside the system. Then when the sulfur came along and the antibiotics, those guys lost favor. Much more, the antibiotics were much more efficient. And when I started doing surgery, we didn't have the antibiotics at that time. And the rule was that you could never have the bowel open and the abdomen open at the same time. So we did a lot of exteriorizing operations in those days. And then we had a clamp cutter into the two ends of the bowel that was sticking up, and we closed over the top. And that way we didn't have the bowel materials getting in. And then when we got the antibiotics, we could pretty much sterilize the bowel and make it antiseptic at least. And we were able to do bowel surgery with the abdomen open and the peritoneum open at the same time, which was a big help in the gastrointestinal surgery. What else? Back in the early days, I'm talking about when I first came here to Auburn, we had the second of two epidemics, and we got quite a lot of cases of pneumonia. That's the way we handled it. I think we lost only one person. Well, at that time, we had coal mines. We had three or four coal mines down here, and we had the usual farm population, and we had the Dow Chemical was young then. We didn't have the tremendous employment they have today, but they were there at that time, and then they had. We had some factories in Bay City that employed quite a lot of people. The old industrial brown horse was one. And we had a chemical factory and industrial cells. And we had the sugar beet factory. At that time, the sugar beets were all, they were lifted with horses and Mexicans would top the beets, pile them, and then they haul the beets out to the rail stations and wagons, pile them there, and they load them onto the car.
Did you make, how tall
the
river was?
How
tall?
Yes, every day until I started doing surgery in 1932. I didn't break make very many house calls after that. Most of my work was consultation, 3 and 4 stops here,
How did people get to come to you so that you don't start running
out? Well, they called me on the phone. When we were in Auburn, they had two phones. They had the Bell phone and the Valley phone. Those phones were on the wall, and they had the old bell that you ring the crank. And of course, you had the stencil that took your call and completed it. And then the Valley phone was taken over by the bell. Now we have one of the most.
How far was the bell?
time I had two horses that I rented. I had the place so I could travel fast and have a couple of horses rest there every day. In the wintertime, the snow drift is pretty deep. Sometimes there'd be a crust on top that you could get over with a horse and cut in. One time we got up by the Cockrawn Church, not the Beaver Church, along the Cockrawn River. There was a deep valley there, and I'd always drifted in, about 12 feet deep there. And we went over all right, I had a driver. We went over all right, and coming back, we broke through. Horse went down the hole, and the cutter went down the top. Thrashed around a while. Took the road crews about 6 hours to shovel it out. You know, doctors don't make very many house calls anymore. This was a good experience for me. At that time, there were a lot of people were going. Those days, it was sort of a ministry to medicine. You tell the girl you owed the people something. It's your job. Yeah. There isn't so much to pay for anymore.
Today, doctors, they don't go into general practice.
Well, I think they're coming back to that some. In the days of specialization, they had specialists that were charging a lot of fees. This sort of made an offer of bird dog out of the general practitioner. He got his cases, and if he referred him to the surgeon got the fees. He didn't get very much. If he referred him to an internist, he got the fees. The practice, general practice of medicine fell more or less in disrepute, but now they're coming back. People are interested more now in general practice than they were in 10 years ago. So I think we're getting a better balance than we had here. I got my master's degree in surgery. The road got pretty bad. They put maybe two extra teams on the front to pull them through until they got on the solid ground. And they were ruts in that road where if you fell off with your car into one of those ruts, you were stuck. And that made it rather difficult. And if you drove a buggy lots of times in very muddy weather, you'd go down to your ex and it'd take you all day to make 10-mile call. And it was easier to go with a horse where you go along the edge of the road. I first went to Auburn, there was Dr. Snyder there, who was they called him a star man. The red medicine was went into the doctor's office for training, and they were given a license to practice in a certain area. And this Dr. Snyder was a star man. He had a lot of good things about him. I think he did a good job while he had. the books and worked in the doctor's office and learned what they could. Well, that's the way the process is. A lot of them get the process. He was an old man then, he was in his 80s, and I was 20. Is there anything else? Well,